parashas about Eva, and I chose something which is you'll see, I hope it will speak to you in a certain way. So let's just have a look. We're talking about the Bolod, the warning before the Bolod. Let me read out the Pesukim to you. Hayore es debar Hashem me'avdei Paroi, those who were feared Hashem of the servants of Paroi, heinis es avodos, they kept their servants, v'gnei ben abotim, they pulled them inside because they knew the Bolod was coming. Now the next pasuk, v'asher lo yisom liboy el debar Hashem, and someone who didn't put his heart to the debar Hashem, v'yazov es avodov, v'es miknei basodeh. So v'yazov, he left it there. The Or HaChaim, just let me read out to you before we go into the Or HaChaim says, why does it say v'yazov? Again, v'asher lo yisom liboy el debar Hashem, v'yazov. What's the vov doing there? So the Or HaChaim says, the vov is, and he didn't care. It wasn't that he's about to lose all his property. He's about to lose everything he says. Laharis kidabar Hashem boza. He despised. He didn't care. He just discarded it. He took no notice of it. Bayazoi. He was careless. But he didn't care about it. He didn't care what Hashem had said. Lo shos libo. Then the Or HaChaim says, it's not because they wanted to keep the Mitzrayim there. That wasn't, says the Or HaChaim, no. I feel a bit philosophic. They didn't even have a doubt that something would happen. Why? Well, I came mitzad shelohayu b'sheish makos. They didn't say anything marvelous about the previous six plagues. Ki yochol b'nira b'inehem shuhu rochek b'yochol. It can't really happen. How can that be? How can you have the plagues of Kinim and Dan and all these? How can you just not pay any attention to it? Because in the words of Avchaim Valkin, Shia Bari, the Mashkiach in Hateres, I remember he once said, they were adish, they were indifferent, you know, who cares? Carelessly, and carelessly you lose everything that you have. All because of one thing, because lo som libay, you just never thought, you never took it further. And the Yerucham has a whole limud on this, of just not thinking about something deep enough. Look what he says here. You just don't think. You're adish, indifferent. You just carry on, life carries on. Got up in the morning, went to sleep at night, you know, earned my money, went on the train, whatever you did. And you didn't pay any attention to anything, what was going on around you. And that's the problem. You just never som liboy. That's the meaning when we say every morning, we know everything. You can have a black hat and tzitzis and be into a tefillin on, and you can do everything right, but you're never shos liboy. You never really put your heart into it. It's just a matter of knowledge or routine or rota and regular, and doesn't penetrate inside. Look how Rabbi Yerucham talks about it. Hinei ha-mitzrim nikru b'toyah ha-yoreis devar Hashem. The Mitzrim were called those who were yorei. Lomdim onu mikan kama nokel hu inyan shel yosh. How easy it is to have yosh shamayim. Goodness me. And in other words, those who put it in were called yosh shamayim. It's very simple. Yira here. What is this yira? They saw the previous six as God lo Hashem, there's Yoda Harazoka. And now Moshe is standing there. Umas Rebohem. And he's now warning them. You're in great danger, dear. Here. The Eich Ze lo Yoru. It's a pera, no? The Pele with Paroi as well. How could Paroi, by Yakshe's Libo, how can you do that? Well, how foolish it is. The simple reason is, you just never put your heart into it. You can know something, but you never, doesn't penetrate inside, in the panemius of a person. How can that be? And he gives an example. He gives a beautiful moshel of Yisrael Salant. Kva omad v'hitpare hagon of Yisrael Salanta. Al inyan Yerushalayim, Sheba Odom. How does it work with Yerushalayim? Look at this moshel. Tomer b'mashalah hayadua, a famous moshul. Shim yimsa odom kais shomayim. Person is holding a glass of water. V'abim ha'anoshim ha'magidim lo, and everybody tells him, ki ha'mayim zakim obriyim. This water is clear, it's delicious water. Nothing to wrong. V'af al pikein, im ish echad, there's one particular person, afil ish mashuga, mamash, a mamash ha'mashugana. standing there in front of him, everybody's saying, hey, take a drink. This one meshugana, Yagidolo, the Yemeni, says to him, Al tishdes ha-mayim ba'ele, don't drink it. Mishum shebekois ha-mayim nimsa samsha mavis. There's a poison in the glass. Don't drink it. One meshugana turns around and says, no, it's poison inside it. Hare tekef, what will happen? Immediately, chadal yachdo milishtois ha-mayim, he won't drink the water. Afshahu neged aseichal ayoshev, but everyone is telling him the water is perfectly fine. Shai soif kosof, Rabbi Manoshim began peeping, and sensible people tell you it's fine, there's nothing to worry about, it's clear. But there's one particular meshugana who tells you the water is poisoned. Because of that, hamaftichim lo she'ein klum b'mayim. No, there's nothing wrong with this water. But amurat kal, but nevertheless, whom a pachud peifached al eze chashash koldu. He's worried about one slight chashash. He's worried. You can mistake pen ulai emes to meshugan. Maybe the meshugana is right, but he's a meshugana, and you know he's a meshugana. But nevertheless, maybe there's something in what he's saying, and for that reason, he doesn't drink the water. Well, masik hagom v'bisotzalant. The imkain eich hoylechu adam ba'ilama bori bebetach. How under these circumstances you get the nimsha? What's the marshal? The marshal is everybody tells you it's fine, but there's one particular chashash in your mind, because the one chashash in your mind, you're careful, you don't drink it. One little chashash in your mind, maybe there's something what he's saying. So now turn it around the other way. How can people walk around in life so confident and so sure that everything's going to be fine? But I'm a fachid, 1 minute. Why doesn't a person worry? But you don't worry about what's going to be after 120 years. Maybe something will happen to me because I didn't keep what Hashem wanted me to do. That's the sophic in his mind. No, he's a little chashash. Does he have that little chashash? Maybe I shouldn't look at what I'm looking. Maybe I shouldn't eat what I'm eating. Even though the things aren't 100% clear to you. Aval haloi gamal 50% v'gamal 30% afilu al sveikos shel 10%. 10% chance. 1 second. Think a minute. Chashash. Maybe I should be worried a little bit about going against one little seif in the Shulchan Aruch, because maybe there's something in it, and yet we don't. And that's the point he's saying here. We don't think enough. Even the one chashash we don't have, we just carry on. How can a person be like that? It's something's wrong with his seichel. You follow me? In other words, even on the small chashash, if I do it, does it really matter? Even though the small 1% of a chashash, we don't worry. And that's Yirah Shamayim. Yirah Shamayim is when a person suddenly has a chashash in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
You ignore the chashash, yes, you ignore the chashash. But it's only what makes a person ignore it? He just doesn't think about it. He doesn't think further. Self-destructive. Self-destructive, yes. What are you saying, Shimshon?
The marshal, he realizes some amount of
it. Right.
For me, I would say by myself, you don't realize that the chashash is some amount of it. Like you don't realize the problem on the other side.
Right.
So
you don't.
Of the chashivas of it.
You don't take it seriously enough. Even on the 1%, you don't take it enough. You don't take it further enough. Going against the Shulchan Aruch, you know, is there something wrong in going against the Shulchan Aruch? The chashivas of that, you don't bear it in mind. That's what I think the nimshal is. You don't take the chashivas of it. You don't take it seriously enough. So there really is something in the Shulchan Aruch here that I have to be careful of. That's a chashash, and that's a Yirah Shamayim. That's the measure of Yirah Shamayim here.
Do you think it could be that some people might be leaning more towards the Rachamim aspect? If they listen, you know, it might, you know, just on, you know, they can't, either, it's not necessarily that they can't be bothered, but maybe they have a hard time just
reconciling themselves to din.
Yeah, with the din versus Rachamim, say, well,
it doesn't. But how is it weighed out? It doesn't really matter, no? Isn't that the chashash? Doesn't really matter? How do you weigh it up, whether to do something or not to do something? It doesn't really matter. Give an example. Someone came over to me the other week and said to me that he has to learn Hilchos Shabbos. He said because a few weeks ago he accidentally turned the light on.
Mm-hmm.
So he saw in that the simon. He said the next week I again turn the light on.
Same way.
Then he said to me a third time. The third week happened.
Oh, wow.
The third 3 weeks running, he turned the light on. He said, I have to learn Hilchos Shabbos.
Wow.
But he knows Hilchos Shabbos.
No, but he saw behind it an enormous. He knows it's one. No, he knows it's one of the Shabbos.
He knew it's one, but it wasn't like he.
One Friday night he turned around and accidentally turned the light on and he made a nail on himself. I think that he had learned Shabbos over 100 times or something, except for Shabbos. From that he made on a nail.
Oh, wow.
I remember reading about him that he would, because he saw in it a simon min ha-shamayim.
So taking it seriously.
That's the point.
But
here.
Yeah.
I'm saying the chashivas of it. You don't bear in mind the chashivas. I'm going further, Shimshon, though. I think it's an inyan of some lave as well. You don't pay attention to it enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the fault comes in. That's what Yirat Shamayim is. Don't pay attention. Like the Mitzvah never thought that maybe there'll be a Makas Bor. They didn't think about it. They didn't consider it. It's all dependent on Asher Lo Som Liba of the Baruch Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't some lave. And the chashivas of something, you know, it's not just it's bearing in mind how important it is, you know. And he came to me three times. He said to me, three times I've been did the same aveira, and therefore he saw in it. That's it. It's of course it's important to him, but it shook him. It shook him. I have to learn Hilchos Shabbos.
Yeah,
accidentally, each time he accidentally turned the light on. So he said, I have to learn Hilchos Shabbos. That's some late. No, that's a good thing. I'm saying it's a good thing. Some late.
Sure.
He suddenly woke up. What's going on with me here? I keep on making the same mistake. It's been some late. It's like there's a maestro of Chaim Shmulevitz, Chesed Gevorah, brings out in one of his ma'amodim. How can a person be chayav tuma by going to be Mikdash? The Gemara in Shavuot staff, hey. So Chaim brings out there that lo yoda es beis rabbi. He learned all Hilchos Shabbos. And he knows that if you touch a sheretz, you can't go to the base of Mikdash. And what happened? He walked in by accident. So he's chayav a korban. He knew the halachas. He knew the halachas, but he didn't apply it to his mind, to himself. You can know all the halachas, but you don't apply it to yourself. He walked in the base of Mikdash without thinking that maybe I'm tomei, and therefore he's chayav a korban on that. So going in without thinking, I know I touched the sheretz, and I shouldn't go into the base of Mikdash, but he went in the base of Mikdash, and he's chayav. He's chayav a korban for not being some lave, said the chayav. He didn't think about it personally. He knew the halachas. How many times do we know the halachas and you never think about it personally? It doesn't affect you personally. You know? That's what he was saying.
It's a disconnect.
Give another example. The Chaim brings out an example by David HaMelech. Remember the Navi came and Manasseh told him about the poor man and man took the poor man's lamb and David got very angry and said, that man is chayav misa. And then he turned around and said, and the man is you. David never even thought it was me when he took Bathsheba to someone else's wife. No, it's me. He wasn't some lay of Chaim being done that. It can happen to you. You know it's wrong, and you in theory realize it's wrong, but it doesn't get penetrated inside your heart enough. It doesn't hit you. This person with Hilchos Shabbos could only hit it when he turned the light on three times. You know what I mean? Some lay is the next stage after Yediyah.
Mm-hmm.
Look what he said. Ha'umnam ki yiras ha-mitzrim bo mikach sibos ma'oy pashutay. How did the Mitzrim get Yirat Shamayim? By very simple reasons. Mefachdom al nafshom. And they were very worried about their property. Uma'oydom asher hisilam al hemtzorim b'sakon. They're in a danger here. Sakona ha-mutsuya b'gam kureva. It's a very likely, probable danger that they're in. V'achal pikein korakos of hayorit. And yet they're called Yirei Hashem. Goodness me, they're called Yirei Hashem just because they were scared of their property. Afal Yiro shall Eser achuz, even on 10% bilvad, kisayf kol sof, harei yoru, they're called yorim. They're called yerei shamayim. Why? Because they were worried. Hine kama nokel, how easy it is to get yerei shamayim, just from the pachad alone. Then he turns it around the other way. V'chein men asad ahof, look at it the other side. Onol amedim, kial einom yereim, if you don't, rak asher loy som nivot, I'm not paying attention, lo chosa haya liyerei shamayim, kim hisboinonus v'simach hadvoyim alelev. The only thing which was missing was a simas leiv. That was what was missing. And yet you can be called a yerei shamayim if you are some leiv. So the difference between yerei shamayim and not yerei shamayim is some leiv. That has been a beautiful Gemara, most magnificent Gemara. I think I might have bought it once before, of Unklas Seger. You know the mice with Unklas Seger? So Unklas, who was in the Mishpach of Caesar, became a Yid. Shoda Kaiser of the Caesar, of Kaiser. Shoda Kaiser Gudna Doremi. So the Caesar sent a whole battalion. I saw once in Mount Shoving, now 300 soldiers to bring him back home. So Meshugana becomes a Yid. So they take hold of him. So he sent 300 soldiers in order to bring him back home. Mashchinu Bekoi. And Unklas started discussing with him about Yiddishkeit. Ego, they all became Yidden. 300 soldiers became Yidden. Hodav Shoda, Gudna, once again, Caesar sent another battalion, another 300 soldiers, to Romi, Obasehu, Omaluhu, Loi Temule, Romi, don't talk to the man, just bring him home, don't talk to him. When they went out, can I just discuss something with you? As they were taking him back to Rome, they said to him, can I tell you something? Nifura, I think that's like a private, he holds the light for the lieutenant. Pure, the lieutenant, holds it, the duksa, for the duke. Duksa, the hegmona, the duke holds it for the general. Hegmona, the kuma, the general holds the light for the king. Kuma, mi nokat nura. Who does the king hold the light for? Omele lo, the king doesn't hold the light. Omelu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nokat Nura Kama Yisrael, but Hashem held the light for Klal Yisrael. Hashem Holach Lifneim Yomam. Igoya, they all became even as well. That's how many?
That's 600 now.
600. Hoda Shad of Gudni sent another 300 soldiers. Achvina Abasre. Omelu Hu Lo Tishtoi Midei, don't even listen to the man. When they bought him, but Ozle, they saw as they walked out, and this is where we get the thing of kissing the mezuzah. Mm. He kissed the mezuzah. What are you doing that for? I'll tell you why I did that. Usually the usual way of things work, the melech bosav adam yoshev b'fin, the king sits inside, the avodav mishamim moisav achutz, and the servants stand outside. HaKadosh Baruch Hu avodav mibifnim. And the servants here, we are inside. Igoya, they also became Yidden. It's 900 Bochum in Yeshiva Smir, no? A whole it's a midrash. 900 Bochum, 900 soldiers all became Yidden. Tulo Shoda Basrei didn't send anybody more. He stopped sending after that.
The entire Roman legion.
It must be very, very powerful, very persuasive. But Chaim Camille said a beautiful head on this. Tell me, what did Unklas see? No, he didn't see anything. He just read through the Chumash. He never witnessed anything. He just thought about the Pesukim. No? Masha Ein Kain, all the people who left Mitzrayim, you know, a few weeks later they were complaining, Hashem Bekir Beinu, and they saw Kriyas Yamsov. They said, well, Chaim Kamil, look at the difference here. When a person is some lay of Unklas, Mamash thought about the Pesukim. When he read Parshas Va'eira, he thought about it, and he became a Yid, and he was able to convince other people about it. Masha Ein Kain, a Shifcha Bayom, who saw it all, but never became convinced. What's the difference? Because she was just given the Nevuah. Who is Gayer Me'apsukim? Rak Mishu Lamad. No, he hasn't become a Gayer. He learned all these Psukim. How did Unklas become a Yid?
No,
he learned Chumash.
No, he became a Gayer before
the Yid. Before, this was the Maisa which he bought to show them how Hashem.
Yeah,
Look. Why did he bring these psukim? Because obviously he was impressed by these psukim. As mikan ro'im, the Unklas paid attention to it. He thought about it. Masha'en came, when they came out of Yamsuf, they didn't think about it enough. And that was a problem. It all depends on being some lays. That's the whole beautiful mice of it. So he carries on. Let's carry on with Yeruchim. Yeruchim carries on here. Udvarenu omna matimim gam im divrei haramban. And now he goes on a little bit more. Shama al aposuk v'oisai siro. When the pasuk says in the Devarim, you should fear Hashem, shetaminu v'levavachem, ki hu asher biyodo nefesh kochai u'biyodo lahamis v'hachiyoy. What does it mean, yiro? It means emuna, that everything is in Hashem's hands. Hine odam hamamin, a person who believes, ki biyodo nefesh kochai, that everything is in Hashem's hands, kva yesh bazeh mishum, that's called oisetiro. When a person, niflahu, that's the Ramban, lilmoy bameh nikwaim kava, what does it mean, a yoshamayim? It means someone who has emunah. The kalas mafsidi ahiyira, the ein sima slave, mafil ma'oid. It just means thinking about emunah, you become a yoish shamayim. That's what the Ramban means. Thinking about it. The Saba Mikelm, on the posuk, vayuho mes Hashem, vayaminu b'Hashem. Ki koidem kol hesega ahiyira. First comes yira. First comes yira. Vayuho mes Hashem. Achakach bodideyem vayaminu. First of all, a person has to stop doing things wrong. When a person is scared, he stops doing something wrong. He's now no longer bribed. He's now no longer corrupted. Now he's already on the right path. And now it's clear, it's easy for him. Once he stops doing something wrong, even though he's still got some netiya towards chayt, so long as he's careful, he's scared of Hashem. He'll be punished from him. And that's what the mitzvim were here. They were scared. You're already a maimin. Once you have that, you're stopping from it. You know the famous yeshiva Rashi here in Yerushalayim, Chaim Maletsky, Adam Godel Ma'oid. So he gives the boys, I have a son there in yeshiva there, so he gives the boys a long lead, but he has certain rules. You can't have a non-kosher phone. You can't have a laptop. There are rules. Because that is a tremendous pitrib, a tremendous enticement. He gives them a long lead, he looks after them, but he tells them, this you can't do. You can't have a non-kosher phone. You can't look into our internet. There were rules there. He gives them. That will stop them from chatoim, and that will hold them in. A long line. He gives them a lot of freedom, but he's careful with them. Certain things you have to be careful about. You have to stop. Remember once having a discussion, you remember Moshe Twersky, Zecher Tzadik Baruch, Hashem Yikom Dov. So he once discussed with me, but we were talking about it in the car together, about how do you talk to your children about tznius? How do you train your child with tznius? A young boy, like, not to look at certain things. So we came out in the discussion that you have to give certain guidelines of tznius. Like, you know, don't look at certain things. Even though the child doesn't really understand, he has to be put on the path to understand there's something called being tsanua and arayas. You have to give certain guidelines to a child. At least he knows what's right and wrong. Remember, he was discussing it with me. His child was a young child at the time, and we were talking about what do you do to teach a child tznius. Certain guidelines, like, you know, don't look at this, watch a child. You have to be so that he's saw mechait. Otherwise, he just gets caught. The child gets caught up in things. You have to have certain things. Shmir Seinayim is very important. Shmir Seinayim for tznius, and then already the child knows what's right and what's wrong. He picks it up. You have to give guidelines. Kishetainu b'Rabbeinu Yoina kosav shom ki hayores devar Hashem b'choshe b'hoylech masha ha'ish hazeh yikne. When a person has Yiras Shamayim, you can imagine how far he goes and says he made tshuva umano anu anu ki gam v'dargas hayiras shel ha'mitzrim adayin lo bonu. Maybe we, says Rabbi Yerucham in his great humility, maybe we haven't even reached the darga of those who of the Egyptians. How many times do we reach the stage of not being some livid? How much does a person really let it penetrate inside his heart? Same idea. This is what Rabbi Yehuda is about. But I must tell you, I prepared this shiur, and then Yonason, my dear friend here, gave me a handout from the Victor Miller. You saw what he wrote? Most magnificent on Parsha Shemais. Yonason gave me during the week, and when I read this through, Yonason, I must have read it through about a few times. All that we've seen here in Reb Yerucham is the importance of Yerushalayim. The problem is, how do you get to Yerushalayim? How is a person kind of Yerushalayim? And in this, Rabbi Victor Miller, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, talks about the growth and the greatness of Moshe, of Yaakov, and David. They all had one common trait. Moshe spent 40 years as a shepherd in the wilderness. What happened in those 40 years? No one knows anything about it. He was wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. What happened to him? Then all of a sudden he comes to the snare. Something was happening to him for those 40 years. What was he doing all the time? Says Reb Yerucham, says Reb Avigdor, he was thinking about Hashem and talking to Hashem. And when you talk to Hashem in quiet, and use quiet moments, you begin to grow in your Shemayim. Talking to him. David HaMelech had the same thing. He was thrown out of the house. They thought he was a mamzer. He was alone in the fields, all by himself, for years and years. Yaakov Avinu by Lavan. All these were training grounds, the quiet times, for Yerushalayim. When you talk to Hashem yourself, and I'd like to read out to you, it's a little bit off the point, I got so much out of it, using quiet times to talk to Hashem. What do you think he was doing in the Midbar? What do you think he was doing in the Midbar? What was Moshe doing in the Midbar? What was David doing in the Midbar at the time? He was making shiur, he was talking to Hashem. He must have been. Otherwise, how all of a sudden Moshe came to the snare? What happened all these years? What was he doing? He was involved in thinking about Hashem. Now, I want to read out to you, if you'll excuse me, a few passages. It's in beautiful, beautiful way he puts it. In order to better understand the Ma'ala of his Hispoidus, we will study a piece from the Messina Shoshoyim. You should pay close attention to the following. This statement is a diamond, only that you have to be a maven in order to appreciate such a gem. The Yokom in Hakol, the most precious of all things, is Hispoidus, to spend time by yourself. It doesn't have to be all day long, but sometime a person must make for himself. It is more precious than anything else. He doesn't say this is a good thing. He said it's more precious than anything else, solitude, using quiet times. Solitude, being by yourself, doesn't merely mean that you should be alone. It means that you should be alone for the purpose of perfection. We all have quiet time together. Solitude means being alone and being capable of using that opportunity to produce perfection of character. The secret of this success is the realization that actually you're not alone. You're alone with Hashem. Now that's something to think about. When you find that time without all the distractions of life, and now you're finally alone, that's when you're finally alone with your best friend, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now don't tell this to your wife. She should always think that she's your best friend. But the truth is that your greatest success and happiness in this world will come from the time you spend alone and build a relationship with your true best friend, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Isn't that what he said? He brings that. I want to read out to you certain things. The most basic thing you do when you're alone with Hashem is to think about the chasodim he bestows upon you all the time and to thank him. You can start by thinking about the food you ate today. Thank Hashem for your food. So you'll say, I was yotzei already once. I thanked. That's not enough. You have to thank him always, in addition to your brachas, in addition to birchas hamazon. There's no end to what you have to be thankful for. Walk out in the cold weather and you have a nice warm garment made of wool. You have to think about these things and tell Hashem how grateful you are to him. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Hashem, for giving me the warm clothing. Hashem, thank you for a beautiful day. Now it's raining, it's also a beautiful day. You say thank you to Hashem. It's not just a good piece of advice that I came up with you. It's a mitzvah. Hishom anacha pen tishkach es Hashem anakecha. Be aware not to forget Hashem. What does it mean not to forget Hashem? It doesn't mean to keep the mitzvahs. It does not say don't forget the mitzvahs. You should be aware not to forget Hashem. That means you should be thinking about him. That's a wonderful thing to think about for 1 minute. If you're walking by yourself for 1 minute on the street, and if there's no one listening, then you can say, Hashem, I know you're right there with me, and that you're listening to me. You love me more than I can imagine. You love me more than my mother loves me, more than my father, more than my friends love me. You're taking care of me. Everything you do for me is for the best, and I love you too. And then you relax. You were together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 1 minute straight, thinking about Hashem. It goes on. Another remarkable opportunity for being with Hashem is when you're getting dressed in the morning. One has to be careful not to expose his body unnecessarily. When he's dressing or undressing alone in his room, you might say, well, it's dark in this room. Who sees me? Don't say who sees me. Hashem alo kolaretz kavoida. And therefore, every morning, every night, when you dress and undress, it's your opportunity to have some solitude with Hashem. You're thinking these thoughts. Hashem is here with me, and he's looking. And that's why I'm careful how I undress. Of course Hashem has x-ray vision. Nevertheless, the fact that he is looking should be enough to make you cover yourself. It's a practice. You do it always, and little by little you gain an awareness of this great truth that Hashem is looking. It's very important to work on that. Beautiful ideas here. Beautiful ideas. He gives some examples. Let's say you're sitting in a waiting room by a dentist, and you don't have a safer. Here's your chance. Or you wake up in the middle of the night, sometimes for a few minutes. You can't sleep. Until you fall asleep again, you'll be saying, Ki hu amar vayehi. That's all he did. He spoke and the world came into existence. He commanded and there arose a world. That's why it says, La'olam Hashem is always standing there in Shemayim. His word created the world. Let's say you're attending a wedding. At the wedding, as you sit around, it's not polite to take out a gemara. So you're sitting at the table or you're dancing, clapping, whatever you're doing. But your mind is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How many times has this happened to you? First of all, you can say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, bless the chosen and bless the kala. They should all have good health. They should have parnasa berevach. You could say it with your mind. Nobody's listening. But even better, you can say it with your mouth. The music is so loud, nobody will hear you. They think you're singing along. Bless them that they should have the most beautiful and smartest children. Bless them that they should always get along besimcha. Bless them that they should live long and dance at weddings of all their children and grandchildren. Do you think of that at all? Why shouldn't you? They need your tefillin. And he goes on. Let's say you were forced to go somewhere after you must go and visit cousin Chaim in Boa Park. It's your wife's cousin. And you can't say no this time. So they're eating Manava Malka and everybody's chatting and they're all like a fish on dry land. Their minds are being ground to pieces by idle chatter. So you're sitting among them and you close your eyes for a moment. They think you're dozing off. But actually, you have retired into your cave and you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pretty hard, isn't it? You're thinking your thoughts. Everybody's talking, you're thinking. One moment. Solitude doesn't mean a lifetime of being isolated from humanity. Every minute is an achievement in itself. Tzadikim, back to Bakers, wherever you are. Now, while you're on the topic, I'll mention one more opportunity that we have. This is Yirat Shamayim here, and that's Shemayim Esrei. The Amida you know is said almost silently. Supposed to be as if you're standing in the Kodesh Kodoshim and you're talking to the Shekhinah. That's how a person should imagine himself. There's nobody around and you're talking directly to Hashem. It's a glorious opportunity. No one can hear what you're saying except yourself, and perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu is listening. Now that's real solitude. Only that when a person doesn't have the attitude of talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so his Shemona is just to him something he has to battle off by rote, something he has to do, and he'll never experience the ecstasy of speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the great tragedy of what we do when we daven. We're talking to Hashem, but actually our minds are way off. That's what the Navi says. That's what davening. Davening is when your mind is on it. You're thinking about it. Talking to Hashem. I tried it this week, Yonasan. I went through this week, and as I was walking through the street, I did all that Avigdor Miller did, and I felt I grew in Yirat Shamayim, in my own little way. But talking to Hashem, you know, if you suddenly you're going somewhere or you see something happening, talk to Hashem that I should be successful. Talk to Hashem, I shouldn't be sick, my wife shouldn't be sick, we all should be well. Talking to Hashem, it grows on you. You are Shamayim. You become, that's how you grow. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't talk about this. How do you attain your Shamayim? By thinking about Hashem. Let's say you're sitting at a bar mitzvah party and all around all the tongues are clacking. What do you need it for? Is that clatter going to get you into the next world? So you're a smart fella. You act as if you're listening, but your mind is somewhere else. You're in the forest now, like the Baal Shem Tov went into the forest. You're in the forest with Hashem. You find solitude with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When somebody asks you something, so you come out of the forest to answer, they'll say he's absent-minded. So you say, I'm sorry, I was thinking about something. They'll think you were thinking about your business or something. Let them think so. What we're seeing now is that it's possible, the Hisboidei B'soich HaMoin, even with people, to find solitude with Hashem, even when you're amongst people. It's true, no? Sitting on a train, or sitting on a bus. I was coming back from Yerushalayim today, and I was sitting on the bus, and I was tired, so I just thought about Hashem. And I was talking to him, and it works. You begin to get your Hashemayim, just talking to Hashem, talk to him, when you're walking along the street. And that builds up the Yerushalayim. the quiet, the solitude. Rebbe Avigdor says that's how Moshe Rabbeinu became Moshe Rabbeinu. 40 years in the wilderness, and then he came to the snare. We don't know what he was doing all that time.
About
40 years he was there. David HaMelech, how many was 27 years or something? He was out in the field. They threw him out in the field. Yaakov with Rabbeinu. What was he doing in the field all the time? He was talking and growing to Hashem, and that's how you grow in your Shemayim. I must thank you, Yonasan, for this booklet. It was a wonderful booklet. If you want a copy of it, I'll give you a copy. But it opens your mind up. That's how you get. That's you grow in your Shemayim. You grow in your Shemayim by talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and making him a real friend, not just in tefillah. Halavai in tefillah, we do that. You know. Again, they were fachadim. That's already a dalga. No, but just being scared. Being scared already is a dalga of Shemayim. That's what he means. Just being scared. Can. Okay.